Dear ones, for this morning's reading and meditation, I've chosen, with God's help, to read the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world, of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. The chapter we have before us, dear ones, is is the opening of a letter that Paul writes to a church that is in the city of Corinth. And he had received word of this church that it had become infiltrated, literally, by the world. So the world had come into this church. And he addresses them. He says that he is Paul, and he describes himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And when we think of Paul, he had no less power as an apostle than Moses did. He had no less power than Elijah had. But he didn't want to come to them with power. And when the apostles had died away, the dozen or so that were given this apostleship, that power went with them. Because typically man can't handle this type of power. He comes to them in love, but in truth. And he describes, and I think it's so beautiful how he gives this thanksgiving. He says, "I thank my God always on your behalf." So he's describing his thankfulness for them. He says, "For the grace of God which is given you." Now keep in mind who he's speaking to. He's speaking to a church that there are divisions among them. There are sins that are being committed that aren't even being committed outside in the city. Things are so shameful. There's lawsuits being brought against one another. There's divisions, there's fights and arguments about gifts and things that are being squabbled over. And he says, "I thank God on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him. In all utterance, every word that you would speak, that you would be enriched by none other than Jesus." So that your words that you utter are enriched, that you are enriched in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. This was confirmed in you. And that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." God is faithful, he's saying to them. That's who you were called by into this fellowship. So he's saying that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Later he says that from the house of Chloe, it was declared that there are contentions among you. Is that blameless? No. They are to be blamed. And he writes an entire epistle of instruction and gives them and exposes their sin to them. Reading this chapter, the focus for me as I was reading it is the preaching of the cross. And it is the power of God. It is this word of the cross that you and I have this power available to us to be blameless. And do we, as this church, and now he addresses the church, he says, unto the church, he didn't say unto the church of Corinth, he says unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So you and I, we might talk about the church of West Akron, It's not the Church of West Akron. It's the Church of God in West Akron. And so we have to remember who we are a part of, who we belong to. We belong to God. It says, and to them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. So he's telling the church of God in Corinth that you are sanctified in Christ. You are called to be saints. Just like all are in every place that call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in the closing verses, we read Paul as he says, of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. And what is this wisdom? It's righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those are beautiful words. When we think of righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, the word redemption, dear ones, is speaking of an end. The word of sanctification is something that brings us to redemption. Now we could talk about redemption in the sense that once we believe in Christ, we are redeemed. It could be expressed that way, because if we yield our will to the will of God, we are redeemed immediately. As long as our will is subject to God, we are redeemed. And as long as we are subject unto God and His will, we are going through sanctification process every day. Because, brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that none of us can say that I am less knowledgeable of God today than I was in the day that I was taken up in baptism. But it's not only in the knowledge, that knowledge, because many people in the world who don't know Christ have great knowledge of God in the sense of knowing the Scripture. You know, the Bible tells us that the devil knows truths. He knows all these truths, but he dabbles only in lies. You know that if you and I dabble in lies, you know what we do? It is the most evil thing that we can do. Because when I lie, usually it's going to be to lift myself up. I'm going to say something that I did that is better than what I did do. That's called pride. That's how the devil fell. So we lie to lift ourselves up. Or we lie to put someone else down. Pure evil. It's all evil. So we know that the devil knows truths. He knows all the truths, and he believes them. So you and I, dear ones, we can say we believe in Jesus. But are we, as we read here, are we made righteousness, sanctification, and then redemption? Or is the preaching of the cross foolishness to us? Now, we know that the preaching of the cross was foolishness to the disciples. To the two that Jesus spoke to after his resurrection on the road to Emmaus, they said, we thought that he was going to redeem Israel. But then this cross came up. It's foolishness. That's not what the disciples understood. And it's foolishness to everyone who does not embrace the meekness of Jesus. And so, do we make the cross of Christ of none effect unto us? We do it by lies, the spreading of gossip. We do it by, because the cross has no effect on us. The power of God has no effect on me if I am going to be dabbling. And you know, I can call myself a Christian. What am I? Part-time Christian? Are we part-time Christians? Because what does that really mean? You know, you can claim to be a vegetarian and just say, I'm a vegetarian, but on the weekends, I eat meat. Well, you're not a vegetarian. You can't claim to be that. If I'm going to name the name of Christ, the Bible tells me we must depart from iniquity. That means there's no part-time. I can't say, well, you know, I am weak. I know I'm weak, and you know you're weak. But the strength that is available to me is at the cross. That's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's the Word of God. The Word of the cross is Christ Himself. It's Him. And so, if I am going to claim Jesus as mine, my Savior, my Redeemer, is it full-time or is it part-time? Because Jesus doesn't seek to live in your heart on a part-time basis. He seeks to live within us, to have that communion with us, and empower us with His might. So that as this church was planted by the preaching of the Word, so this Word went, the Word of God went into this city by the Apostle Paul. And some men heard it and they believed it. They believed. In the middle of what we would probably call what the 20th or 21st century now is. That's what this city of Corinth was back then. It's full of all kinds of lasciviousness and all kinds of things. And in this time, this city that Paul went to preach in, people listened and they believed. And a church rose up, God's church. And just as Israel, many, many years before, was supposed to be a beacon of hope and direction for the nations around them, so this church of God planted in the city of Corinth was supposed to be the same thing. But instead of the church going out into the world came into the church. And it lost its power. It lost its ability. Brothers and sisters, Paul didn't come to this city to preach anything but the Word of God. And he said, God is the one alone who can give the increase. So don't try to make an increase in anything in your life without God. And that would be also preaching the gospel. If you want to, because when you go to your place of work and you want to be a light, which you are, we are in Christ. He says, ye are lights. Jesus instructs us. And so as we go to our place of work, if we want to preach Christ, we do it by our life. But we do it by the Word too. Now, are we going to say, well, you know, my church is pretty tough stance on righteousness. And, you know, the going to movies isn't that. I know, you know, if I come to them and say, you know, I don't go to movies because why would I want to watch things that are depicted in those movies that God abhors? And, you know, so my church stance on that is a little bit tougher than maybe the next church, so I'm not going to mention that. But I'm going to bring them to Christ without the strictness and the holiness of God's word. Well, then don't do it. Don't do it. Because you're thinking you can do some. So you're making the cross of Christ of none effect. Because the cross of Christ is the only means that you and I can experience this power. And that cross is where I die. It is through death that you and I receive life. And so just think about our own lives. Think about your own life, every one of us that are present here. Think about ourselves. Is there anything in my life that I'm doing that I've made the cross of Christ, who it was foolishness to the Jews, foolishness to his very disciples. Is it foolishness to you and me? Foolishness to the Greek world. Death? Dying to what? I can't enjoy pleasures? Pleasures that are for the flesh. Dear ones, lead us to eternal separation from God. You know, he speaks here of divisions. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I of Christ. You know, the very same things take place today. The denominations are splintered all over. You know, if I don't like the doctrinal adherence of my church, I can just go look for another church. Something that fits me. And you know, a church of Christ can embrace many, many ills, sins, uglinesses. Embrace it. And advertise it. We are an accommodating church. Is Christ divided? He's saying here, is Christ divided? You and your own church are dividing. Is Christ divided? Yeah, but we're doing it for, you know, you might embrace something different, and you're going to look for something different. Why? Because the cross of Christ is being made of none effect to you. And he says here, you know, this is really, you think of the meekness of Paul also, who is an apostle. Again, no less power than Moses and Elijah themselves. And he says, was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? How dare you then say that I am of Paul? He doesn't want no glory of any kind. It's not Paul. He's saying it's not me. It's Christ. So don't look to follow a man. Don't look to follow me, Paul is saying. He sent me to preach the gospel. That's it. That's all I'm doing. I'm preaching the gospel, Paul says, not with the wisdom of words. Why? Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know, we talk about wisdom, and we know that wisdom is Christ. And that beautiful proverb speaking of every place on earth is known where rubies can be found, where gold can be found, where diamonds can be found, where all these things can be found. But where do you find wisdom? It's not in the land of the living. It's not here. And so, to find it, to find this wisdom, Christ himself, we must go to the cross. And so Paul says, I dare not preach the gospel with enticing words, using words that will capture people, but not capture them to Christ. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to who? To those that perish. Hell awaits those that the cross is foolishness to. And we're all going to say, well, the cross isn't foolishness to me. Well, dying to myself is what the cross means. When Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And so he says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I will destroy, he says, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He's taken that out of Isaiah. In the times when Assyria was coming, was looking to expand its borders and regions, and little Judah was right there waiting. And the prophet was telling them, no, don't align with Egypt. Trust in God. No. Men reasoned. You reason. You look at the odds. Okay. Here's Assyria. They're powerful. They're big. We're just little Judah. They forgot the power of God. The cross is the power of God. You set aside the cross, we set aside his power. I don't want to die on that cross to myself. I set aside his power. And what did Judah do with Egypt? Now the odds are great. They got run over. We get run over by the devil when we set aside the cross, when it's shameful for me to tell someone I don't go to movies, I don't go to bars, I don't lie. My word is yes and yes and no and no. I don't need to swear by anything. None of it is mine. I can't swear by anything. Is that foolishness to us to tell someone that who we believe in taught me that I am to flee from these things? It says, the world by wisdom knew not God. So it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This foolishness, we believe in it, it says we are saved. Jews require a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolishness, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Think of that. We know there is no foolishness in God. We know there is no weakness in him. But the greatest power of man, if it can be said that there's anything, I think is what this is expressing, if there's any weakness in God, it completely dwarfs any of the mightiest of men in his wisdom. And so it says here, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It's hard to reach someone who is mighty and noble and wise after the flesh. His trust is in himself. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The weakness that the disciples saw of their master as he was led away to the cross, that was weakness. It's the weak things of the world. And it confounded them. It confounds anyone who is living in the flesh and cannot come to Christ in full submission. My fear is for myself and for all of us is that we come to Christ, but not in full submission. And we make the cross of Christ of none effect, the power of God. And so we align ourselves with the beggarly elements of this world. We align ourselves to the powers of this world. You know, we don't pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. We don't pledge allegiance to none other than to Jesus Christ, the power of God and his cross. Well, if we are in allegiance with Jesus Christ and his cross, everything else has to, because the sanctification process, the wisdom of God, the sanctification, is changing us every day and bringing us more and more into his will. We say, well, how can that be? Well, every day we grow. We grow every day. And that's why our sanctification isn't ever complete. No one can say, okay, now I have attained. Now I am the best I can be. I hope and pray that none of us are the best that we can be right now. And that through the sanctification process, we continue to grow. No glory, no flesh should glory in his presence. Dear ones, if we look at glorying, man, glorying, that's pride. So, how do you ever, if you go to someone who, let's say, enabled you to do something, gave you everything you can or you need to do something, and taught you and showed you and give you everything you need, and you're going to glory to him how great you are. And so that's how this church was. They were glorying in their various gifts and the lack thereof, and some were jealous, and all kinds of different things were going on. But he said, you cannot, no flesh should glory in his presence. That means to be like Jesus. Meekness. We sing to him, meekness is a virtue. Gracious. Every Christian's glory here. That's my glory. My meekness. Well, my meekness is not mine, because that goes against the flesh. That's what the cross produced. I died to myself. And so I died to myself. Jesus Christ, who is meek, lives in me, and I have become meek. And so there's no glory. There's no glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And so we think of Jesus as wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. And so this wisdom we think of as righteousness. So, dear ones, what is, you know, Jesus said when he was being baptized, he said, let us fulfill all righteousness. Let us fulfill all righteousness. He was baptized. And, dear ones, as we are baptized, we also align ourselves, as he did to fallen man. So we align ourselves with Jesus Christ. And the righteousness of Christ is imputed unto us. Because we have died to ourselves on the cross. We no longer live for ourselves. And the sanctification that follows, this is what we are made. This is what we are made. And so when we go live our lives every day, dear ones, we all want to be redeemed. We all want to have that. And I believe every time the redemption is spoken of in the scripture, the word redemption, it's always speaking about an end. And so to be redeemed, it's at the very end of my life when I enter into his glory. His glory. I am living a redeemed life. But my redemption is drawing nigh. To be redeemed is something that you and I do experience here today. Living a life that is redeemed. Because I have made myself completely separated. That's what sanctification really is, a separation from any influences. So the Corinth church was not being sanctified. They weren't being separated from the influences of the world. Sanctification is a daily growth and a daily separation of influences from the outside that will influence my life away from the power of the cross and of Jesus Christ. And I lose my redemption. How can I say, yes, I was a Christian and I embraced things that Christ died to give me victory over? To give me victory over. He died to give me victory over all addictions, every addiction. Who did? Jesus did. Where is that victory of every addiction? In Christ. It's in him. And so, do we ever find ourselves glorying in any way? Feeling pretty good about what I've been able to buy and show. I'm glorying. To the Jews, that was a stumbling block that Jesus is born in a manger. To the Greeks, it was foolishness that he was born in a manger. They couldn't glory in the one they followed. What? Born in a barn, lived a life of relative poverty, had nothing, and allowed himself to be hung on a cross and died a gruesome death. And I'm going to glory in that. And so, if we glory in anything, it's because we can't glory in him. We've allowed our hearts to be infiltrated by the things of this world. Possessions. Entertainments. Whatever it is. Pursuits in life. Wealth. Whatever it is. We can be honest with ourselves for a moment. We have to be if we're going to change. If we're going to go to the cross, we die to those things. We have to know what we're dying to. Or we can say we were at the cross but still living in sin. Well, we're not at the cross. We didn't take up our cross. So if you're going to glory, glory only in Christ. That's what Paul did every time he spoke. He spoke of his beauty. He spoke of his power, his magnificence, his love. See, Paul learned from Jesus the language of love. And he loved like no other. And he loved this church in Corinth despite their sin. And he says, you have to come back. He came to them a way of love, but he said, if you don't listen, I have to come back. And I have to execute discipline. When love is rejected. But love is truth. And Paul comes to them with truth and points out everything. You are in sin here and here and here and here and here. That's truth. That's love. He came to them with that. And so, dear ones, as the Bible and the Word of God is opened unto us, the Lord Jesus comes to us in love. Are we going to embrace his truths and love him and be willing to live that life? And no, it's not just some foolish preacher who is so backdated that he doesn't understand the new modern way of living and the modern things in life and, you know, that we pursue and have great fun in and so on. It's about Christ and the cross and his meekness. Is that what we embrace? Or do we make it of none effect? That's scary. Dear ones, to make the cross of Christ of none effect is when we allow the infiltration of the world into our hearts. We stop the sanctification process. We can't get to redemption unless we're sanctified. And may he cause us, every one of us, to pause and to consider the power of God, the power of the cross, the word of the cross. It's all Christ. Do we embrace him and live him every day? Because without him, it's just damnation, death, and destruction. This life is brief. We saw it in a funeral again yesterday. We saw it in the funeral the week before. It's brief. Despite it being 80 years, it's brief. It goes away. And then what? It's the life that was lived. Is it in Christ? May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.